Rod, so what are you reading right now?
I am reading Drive by Daniel Pink. And actually, I'm not. I'm listening to it on Audible.
I love that idea. I've not listened to that one, but I have read the book. Really good book.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
I'm reading The Martian.
Oh, wow. Cool. It, like the physical book?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
So maybe I should listen to it because I bought the book, but I haven't started.
See, this way you could actually listen while you're driving to our podcast stuck in traffic. By the way, The Martian is available on Audible, so that's good to know.
How do I get it for free?
You could get either Dan Pink's book Drive or The Martian or pretty much any other book you can imagine by visiting audibletrial.com/dream. And the beauty of that is you get to show your support for the Grow the Dream show and get an amazing free book. Everybody wins.
Or you could just hand Rod $5.
So it's audibletrial.com/dream. That lets them know we sent you. And you also get a free 30-day trial of their service if you decide not to buy, which I recommend that you do. There's a membership there. But if even if you decide not to buy, you still get to keep your book absolutely free.
Yeah, and if you do discontinue at any point after a year or two or whatever, you still have all the books you bought.
All the books. I have, I don't know, dozens and dozens and dozens of these books. I don't know how many. Lots of them. But I've been a member for several years. I love it. And I would be telling you to do it even if they weren't supporting Grow the Dream Show. So anyway, like I said, audibletrial.com/dream. Only 31% of mobile searchers for video games are men ages 18 to 34. As marketers, we have this sort of well-traveled set of assumptions that we fall into that are Google's point is, look, these are kind of ruts. All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today, video. What?
Talking about Blab.
Facebook emoticons on terrestrial radio? What?
Micro moments.
Dave's wife joins us for the same time.
I might be in trouble. I don't know. All that and more coming up right now.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 53 of
Go Go Inspector Gadget Dream Show.
we didn't talk about the jingle at all, did we?
No, yeah. But I think
we never
Josh
do.
Was thinking about it.
So for those of you watching, this is the first time you will have ever seen a Grow the Dream Show, ever. Because there's never been a Grow the Dream Show video before. There was.
Damn, I look good on camera.
I wish you hadn't said
that. I look
that.
Like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
But see, if you're watching with us.
I am friendly.
Via Blab right now, which is live. Not Blive, but Blab Live. You can't see Rod. Rod is here. But if you're watching the official video, that's okay. That's Rod's hand on the Blab. But the official video, you can see all three of us. So we're glad you're watching.
Kind of see me. I'm kind of a ghost.
I can think of no good reason why you would watch the show, but
okay, this is.
But yeah. We're glad you're watching.
I don't know which camera to look at,
right?
Because I'm dedicated to the post video, or I'm dedicated to what's happening now,
right?
On Blab, and so, there will be a rerun live on Blab. You got to remember that.
Now that's cool. So at some point in time, we will have a professional multi-camera shoot, which will solve all of these problems.
I can't give myself props. I would really like to.
I can give you props.
Thanks.
How about that? You know, I can do it as
give
Grow
some
the
props
Dream.
Here.
All right, there's some props.
All right, welcome to the show.
We have one live person with us who, Greg, we're grateful that you're here. Greg actually helped us with an audio setup difficulty here a moment ago. And so, Greg, we want to permanently memorialize you as a member of Episode 53. We thank you for joining us live. yeah, fun stuff. So, guys, how's your week been?
My week's been wild.
You seem kind of
totally wild.
You're like fried.
I am totally fried, and it is not done yet either. So I hope to have some valuable input at some point in this show.
So what you're saying is you're not here.
I'm trying to be here.
He's really doing his best.
I'm not fully here.
As long as MacMail stays closed, we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah.
Shut off them notifications.
Exactly.
We'll see about that.
Hey, we got some people to welcome here.
Okay.
Joining the show. Don't worry, I got it. I'll be the moderator.
Oh, look who joined. Wow. You know who that is, right?
I don't. Jill Johnson. I don't know. Anybody know?
It doesn't ring any chords for me.
Neither.
Well, Jill joined us late, so she doesn't know why Rod's off screen.
Hi, Jill.
But he's here. You can hear him. I hope. So anyway, we're gonna proceed with the actual show.
What are we gonna talk about? So we sat. let's talk about the fact that we sacrificed coffee to make this live thing happen.
I did not, because I went to Starbucks before we started.
Gosh.
And I appreciate you guys. Actually, that was for me. You did that because I had a morning meeting. This meeting. Yep. See.
Yes.
It's going to go well.
That's okay. We moved it around. We'll just talk.
Maybe we'll just have a nerd show.
We did that recently.
We needed an opportunity. Yeah, we did it last week, actually. Last week's show was very nerdy.
It was.
I loved it.
And I was going to try to not talk as much today because of how much I spoke last week.
But since I'm half fried,
I feel like I need to be part of the show today. So.
Well, I think we should, if we jumped in on one of mine early here. Topic that I wanted to just briefly touch on.
Let's do it.
Of some value there. Well, I was driving into town the other day, and I heard that second to the top news story on radio, terrestrial radio out of Tampa.
Terrestrial. Uh-huh. It sounds so so earthly.
It is. It's totally earthly. Yeah. No satellites involved.
There's nothing extra about this terrestrial at all.
Exactly. Total terrestrial TV. So I'm coming in, and you know, usually they have at the top of the hour, they have X number of top news stories, and it's very broad.
Sure.
You know, top things happening nationally. The number two story they had was that Facebook was going to be adding little emoticons like a button to how they operate, to, you know, what people can use. So
this is like in the place where the like button is right now.
Right.
We'll have more choices.
You'll have more choices than just like. And, you know, I think you either hover over it or hold it down, and you get other options. And what I found amazing about that is that I don't find that to be that big of a change for Facebook. For Facebook, you know, it's a change.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's a change in the tech world. It's a change in the social media world. It's a change. But here's what I found interesting. This was on national news where you're talking about the first one was whatever Trump said the day before, because that's always the top story. And then after that, I think it was Blizzard related news. But in the middle was that Facebook was changing their emoticon thing. You're adding these different emotions to the like emoticon.
And you were surprised by that.
Yes, I'm surprised by that. And the reason you're not is because you are swallowed up in this world. And this is my point on this. Dude, let me get to my point.
It's like the homepage of the internet changed.
I'm like duct taping my mouth shut at this point.
The homepage of the internet just changed.
Reddit didn't change. What are you talking about? Reddit is the homepage of the internet.
AOL.com didn't change.
Reddit is the homepage for nerds.
If you Google homepage of the internet, watch what shows up.
Facebook is the new homepage of the internet.
I agree with you. No, you're absolutely right. More people
are going there. But it didn't change. One element of it changed. If you go through your
But it actually hasn't yet, just for the record.
Right.
Like, this hasn't shown up.
Yeah.
But it's going to.
Sure. So it's going to. My point is that one element of the dominant social media has now made its way into a top news story nationally. And my point is that this is becoming more and more mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh has no perspective on what is mainstream and not mainstream. If it's not like digital and on his phone, or it doesn't really exist in reality. But in truth, blizzards happen elsewhere, and those are newsworthy. And in truth, politicians say stupid things, and those are newsworthy.
I hope you brought your boxing gloves today, because I think you need to fight back on this one.
I'm really tired.
I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know what I might say.
Is he saying something actually mean, or are you actually saying something I would agree with?
No, he's not trying to be mean.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm thinking. Well, a tiny little shot, but essentially agreeing on the same page here. My point is that this is new.
Is what you're saying? This is a change.
This is legitimate news, and this is, you know, validated by the news people, who, by and large, everybody that I deal with is not technologically adept at all.
So the world of reality, it used to say online, you would say something like, well, in real life, I'm a plumber, or in real life, I'm a thing. But now we don't, like, it's no longer, in real life no longer means offline.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's what you're saying.
Sure.
Like, in real life now includes.
Right. Social media,
online.
Facebook is part of real life.
Yeah.
It's absolutely part of real life.
Like, you would chat and you would be like, hey, we should meet up IRL. That was like IRL, part of the thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we meet up in real life, you know.
Right.
But this is real life.
This is.
So, what you're saying is these traditional media outlets are getting up with the times, and we should be proud of them.
No. That was the perspective you're lacking that I was. That was the
That was what
jab.
He was thinking you were going to say.
And
yes.
you just confirmed it, so
what
appreciate that very much.
What is the problem with that?
Right. It's okay.
It's relevant to everyone listening.
Dave, do you want to explain it to him, or do I need to again?
I think it would be a waste of time for our listeners.
Okay. Okay. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Explain it.
Well, remember last week when we were talking about MSN and why some people perceive the MSN as equivalent to the internet, right?
Yes.
There's that perspective. And I remember I listened to the show again, and I listened to you going, oh, because it's like, You've got no frame of reference for it to be otherwise.
Well, no, I remember MSN.
No, I know, but you don't remember dial-up, right? You don't
remember. Oh, I do remember dial-up, yeah.
But do you remember the you don't remember dial-up services before the internet was connected, though?
I remember
dial-up. How old are you right now?
28.
You are 28, so you were born in
87.
So the last time we had dial-up services that didn't have an internet connection, you were 7 years old.
Okay, yeah. So when I was on the internet,
when you were using AOL or any of the dial-up services, you were connecting to the internet.
You were making a point, though, David. You were driving it towards a point.
Dial-up existed that didn't connect to the internet?
Absolutely.
What was the purpose?
Exactly. So what we're trying to say is that there was a whole world that actually, to answer your question, since you're asking, it's a legitimate question, there were online services. They allowed you to connect to people. This was our point last week,
right.
Is that we're kind of coming back around to, which is that these things are becoming so entrenched as silos now that people's experience of the internet is limited to one thing,
right?
Like Facebook.
Right.
This is the problem with internet.org right now in India, for example. But our point was that there are things that you didn't experience just because of your age. This is no fault of your own.
Right.
It just is what it is.
Can't change it.
Right. But this represents a pivotal shift.
Right.
This is like an inflection point where suddenly the world is realizing that all of this stuff that happens digitally is also reality.
Which is fine, but you're saying it's a bad thing.
And No.
He's just pointing it out.
I'm just pointing out. I was just making an observation on it.
I'm just saying it's fine. It's great. Why is there a problem?
I'm just saying it's true, actually. It's just the case. What my point was that this news thing to me was like the splash that, oh my gosh, this has crossed over into all of reality, not virtual reality, not et cetera. This is in all of reality. This is totally equivalent with the blizzard and the political statement.
Okay, so two quick things on that, because actually this ties in directly with our next story. But the one quick thing
I did that
is,
on purpose, David.
Thank you. I like that. So one of the things, though, that's cool about this is this, I think one of the buttons we're going to get when this actually happens, I think, is the unlike button. Remember,
maybe a hate button?
Remember the unlike button that we had this conversation about? Facebook is not going to let you downvote people or say, hey, I hate this. They're not going to give you that kind of an unlike button. But they're trying to do something that allows you to express empathy. So, for example, it just happened this week. Someone lost a loved one, right? And they posted it on Facebook. Well, you can't say, I like this.
Right? No.
Right.
Right. No, that's a huge problem. That's why oftentimes people will actually type in don't like.
Yeah. And you can't say I don't like this because it's not.
But you want to show empathy.
But you want to empathize. Right. So there is kind of this need to express. And I think Facebook is what the news is, that Facebook is trying to use some emoticons as a way to allow you to make expressions other than just the big thumbs up, which is the eternal Facebook emblem, which. I say eternal, it'll probably be gone in a year, but it's the...
They should just adapt an upvote, downvote system.
But see, then it becomes Reddit.
Right. And then, it was a joke.
They didn't want to go negative.
Because when you go negative...
Staying away from that.
Yeah, exactly. Then it becomes this thing that, people can express hatred. So speaking of radio, and again, for business owners, I think your point, Rod, is well taken. Look, the world that exists online is the world that we also live in offline. But there was this funny story that came out, and the radio people got all flipped out about it. Nielsen, which we know as the ratings agency that handles television and all this other stuff, Nielsen has been doing what they can to try to research how people use all media. And so Nielsen came out with this massive report that said... AM and FM radio, this terrestrial radio, Rod, that you're, AM FM reached over 90% of all adults in their third quarter rating sweep in 2015. 90%, over 90% of all adults were reached by radio. So the radio people are really, really flipping out. And my question is, is this kind of a reverse of the same story you were just talking about? In other words, if we are using digital means... The radio salespeople are all going, see, you can hit 90% of all adults. That includes millennials, by the way, because, you're an adult.
Yeah, I grew up.
18 and over. You've been an adult for quite a while now.
I drive now, yes.
It's true.
He even shaves. Well, he doesn't really now. But
I think we made him sensitive.
Why? Because he's sitting over there with his arms crossed in the corner?
No, I'm thinking you guys are the dumb ones sounding in this one.
No, you're not being sensitive at all, Josh. I'm not picking up on
I didn't say you were dumb. I don't think you're dumb
no,
at all.
He called us dumb.
We wouldn't have invited you on the show if we thought you were dumb.
It just seems like everything we're saying is like Captain Obvious here. But
really? 90%? I would not have considered that Captain Obvious.
No, basically, I was talking about the stuff before.
Pretty much everybody. So
that's
pretty
kind
much
of interesting.
You know, I don't know what their margin of error is, but kind of be close to
well,
the margin
it's Nielsen, so.
Yeah, so pretty big. So they're within the margin of error of being 100%.
Here's what they're saying. If you look at 18 to 34-year-olds, they're saying they hit 92%. For 35 to 49-year-olds, 95%. And 91% of all adults 50-plus. I think that's kind of interesting, actually. So
right.
They're saying that radio's sweet spot really is that 35 to 49. But once you're above 90%, it's all a sweet spot.
The problem with it, and yeah. Maybe you'll be getting this. I don't mean to truncate you there. But the problem is that 90% means how in the world do you target your audience with a radio station that's just throwing a broad beam?
Well, and again, this looks at all AM/FM, so it doesn't right. look
okay,
at
so
a particular format.
Right, so this is all of them. So, I mean, your FM rock listeners are not going to be the same as your AM talk radio listeners.
Dude.
More than likely.
Totally.
Yeah, right.
So you're saying it's the equivalent of a Super Bowl commercial.
Some targetability. No, I think it's
maybe a billboard.
It's some targetability as far as station goes.
Right, but tastes are no longer purely demographic, and this is going to come up when we get to this Google thing. Because,
but if you're selling, let's say you're trying to sell, I don't know, easy to learn rock guitar stuff. You don't want to be on the talk radio station, probably. You'd go with the FM rock station.
You definitely don't want to be on the smooth jazz format, if that's
right.
So,
right.
But here's what's kind of fascinating about it. If you think about it in comparison to television. Television only hit 85% of all adults that week. So radio is besting television right now, according to the Nielsen studies, which, I mean, I'm picking on Nielsen a little bit.
Aren't
actually,
they kind of widely regarded as being
exactly.
big guessers?
They're
highly
authoritative.
Speculative.
They're authoritative.
They're the only.
We don't know if they're accurate.
Right. They're the only name in the game, really.
That's not true. For radio, actually, there's a service called Arbitron, which is the only name in the game. And Arbitron actually gives it's a very expensive service to subscribe to, but it gives very definitive results about who's listening to what. Nielsen has been notorious in part because of their gathering techniques for television ratings were relying upon people to fill out a report. So you had this little paper. They would mail you a pencil, a $1 bill, and a card. And you would have to write down what you watched.
Right.
You know? But they're not doing that as much anymore. Now they're using a lot of digital means to actually measure.
It's so easy to do it digitally now.
Yeah. Now they can tell.
An interactive app.
Well, they put a device in your home and they know what you do. So,
a smart TV.
So the radio people are flipping out about it, and Rod, your point is well taken. At the end of the day, you still have to figure out, can you actually reach your audience there? But I think this is something to pay attention to because a lot of people have made the assumption that radio is dying.
So here's a thought, because I've heard this used a lot, both AM and FM, is that for targeting your audience, if you think your audience likes and listens to a particular radio personality, you have that personality use their show and promote your product. And that can be a very good way to target with a lot of authority and emotional attachment at the same time.
Well, and that's very true because when people say that they're a fan, let's just use a big name like Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or one of these
Bubba
guys.
Bubba Love Sponge, whatever.
Good point. different demo, good point. Or who is the king of all media? I mean, self-proclaimed, but nevertheless, he wins at this. And that is the guy that we all love to hate, Howard Stern.
I was going
to
say, Howard Stern, is that where we're going?
Yeah.
Because he's not on terrestrial radio.
He's not on terrestrial radio, but he has become the biggest moneymaker ever for satellite.
Oh, for satellite, sure.
XM Sirius, or Sirius XM.
I heard he's not renewing his contract, or like...
But
people
even,
are telling
see,
him
the
he
reason
shouldn't.
You heard that is because it's news.
Sure.
You don't hear about Glenn Beck not renewing his contract or Sean Hannity or one of these other guys. You would hear about Howard Stern because he makes so much money for SiriusXM.
You were going to say you were on the line though about the big name.
The big name. The point of that is that when they're listening, they spend a lot of time with that person's voice in their ear, right?
Right.
And that becomes a connection that is very emotional.
That's a visceral connection.
Absolutely.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah, it really, I mean, in every way, like physiologically, emotionally, mentally, you can look at
You could probably measure brain
probably so
based on if it's somebody that you listen to all the time.
Yeah, when you hear their voice, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's been proven to work from a marketing perspective, which is why podcasting is actually a good advertising means as well. Once you find
FYI.
Yeah, a podcast that hits your that hits your demo. So radio is an interesting question, and you know, can we decide is this right for you? Well, of course not, you know, but a lot of it depends on your market.
See, I used to think that radio, in a lot of ways, you just needed to. I mean, just a few years ago, even probably not right for most everybody, but I've definitely been rethinking that, particularly with the connection, the emotional, visceral connection you can have to a personality, including a local personality.
Yeah,
doesn't
agreed.
Have to be a big national
agreed,
one.
Agreed.
$1 zillion for.
Yeah. And if you live in a bigger market,
right.
You have a better chance of finding a local personality.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's like here in the Tampa Bay market, I think last time I checked was 17th largest from a radio standpoint, radio TV standpoint. And we have probably the station you were listening to, our AM talk station. That's the powerhouse.
970
WFLA
right.
has the morning crew there. Two of the guys on the morning there have been there for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, these guys are monsters.
Absolutely.
And I had lunch with one of them a couple of years ago.
I know both of them, but if they endorse something, it does well.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do.
At least in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's an interesting – and it's not as expensive as you might think. These guys sometimes work for cheap.
It's true.
You know?
It is still just one market.
I was surprised at how economical it actually turned out to be.
Yeah.
Even to get them to voice the spots.
Right. And it's still not a bad deal for them when you consider the amount of time they put into it, seriously.
Well,
there's
that.
There's pros,
but,
I mean.
But there's reputation and other things that factor into the value of that they have to watch out for. So Google released a report, and I've been subscribing to these. I don't know if you've ever seen these guys, but it's called thinkwithgoogle.com.
You've brought it up on the show before, and the last time you said I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's thinkwithgoogle.com. It's a place where Google releases research and other things. They've got several departments that contribute to this, so you never know kind of what you're going to get.
Which branch of the alphabet arm
is
doing this?
So, but this one is an article that was released in December that is called Why Consumer Intent is More Powerful Than Demographics. And I think it speaks very much to the concepts that we're talking about right now, because a lot of times we've been targeting, and we're guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. I don't know about you guys, but I'm guilty about this as a Facebook advertiser, right? One of the things that we do when we say, hey, we're going to run this Facebook campaign.
It's all demographics.
Is we start with demographics. Yeah. You obviously start with demographics, right? Well, and you make these assumptions. So one of the things that Google's trying to do is point out the limitations of relying on demographics. So for example, if I said to you that you were going to be in charge of marketing for a video game and you were trying to hit gamers, just off the top of your head, Rod, what age group, what gender?
16 to 24-year-old males.
Okay. So
in China.
Only 31% of mobile searchers for video games are men ages 18 to 34.
34.
Only 31%. That means the majority of them are not 18 to 34-year-old men.
But that's probably the highest of the individual categories. Right.
There's a lot of chicks gaming.
And there's different ages.
Maybe
gaming.
So. I don't have the whole data.
Under 18 and over 34, there's categories. So it's probably the largest single category.
Okay, could be. But why would you select the largest single category and miss out on the other 69%?
Well, you wouldn't have to.
Well, this is the point of the report. So rather than thinking purely about demographics, we need to actually be thinking more about intent of searchers.
Intent of searchers. That's where you're going with this.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's Google's report.
Well,
I was trying to think, how could you measure and target consumer intent on Facebook? I was just asking that question, and I'm not sure where, unless you could target somebody who just bought a video game on their credit card, because I know Facebook somehow has that data.
They do.
Not a video game, I'm sorry, but just bought a video game system, and then you could advertise your game to them.
Yeah, potentially. Okay, so a couple of other things before we get into the how do we act on this, right? But by the way, some of this data is coming from a source called Millward Brown Digital, and they did a study January to June of 2015, Mobile Purchasers and Influencers Report. And there's a lot of, you can see the citations here, Rod, because I know you'll want to.
Yeah. And we'll link to it on our.
Yeah, we sure will. 56% of sporting goods searchers on mobile are female.
That's fascinating.
45%.
They're all buying yoga pants.
45.
Okay, I hadn't thought yoga pants. I was thinking for their husbands or boyfriends.
45%. No, yoga pants. Maybe. That's not fair.
I think it's a little sexist.
That's a little genderist there. I'm sorry. 45% of home and
I don't see dudes wearing yoga pants. I'm just saying.
That's not the only thing that's sold at sporting goods.
You were the one that brought up the yoga pants, not the report. 45%.
I'm just saying it's a trend.
45% of home improvement searchers on mobile are women. 68% of skin and body care influencers in the past 6 months were men.
Okay, now that just switched. Influencers.
Right. Influencers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
As opposed to searchers.
Here's a fun one. 40% of all baby product purchasers, 40% of all baby product purchasers live in households without children.
Grandparents.
Sure.
Yeah. Friends.
Or you're buying the shower gift,
shower
right?
Shower gifts, no, I mean, grandparents.
Yeah, this is explainable by all the toys we get.
But if you're thinking yes. about right, but
too
if,
many,
yes.
Thank you, friends. But
right,
and I have a house full of them.
Yeah, but see, as marketers, we have this sort of well-traveled set of assumptions that we fall into that are Google's point is, look, these are kind of ruts, and so what we need to do is think a little bit differently about. And this is so Google's collected this data. There's a third-party research firm. I'm sure that Google funded it or somehow was involved in it in some way. But Google's point is that as a content creator who is trying to capture a particular audience, that we should focus more, and this is the big, huge lesson out of this, okay? Focus more on being useful in the moment rather than thinking about crafting your content for a specific demographic.
It's just knocking down the shibboleths right and left there, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I just love that. And I mean, I love that. Just the idea that don't even look at the demographics first. First of all, the examples they give,
mm-hmm.
which you were just detailing, are fascinating to me.
Sure they are. Yep.
And then, and just sort of, I mean, going after their intent as opposed to the demographic, because we all do demographics. I mean, for 25 years, long before I was even in this business, demographics was just all important.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of saying, secondarily may be important.
Yeah. Exactly. And when you look at how this plays out, so for example, one of Google's recommendations is to develop how-to videos, right? Because when you develop a how-to video that relates to something you sell, whether it's a product or a service, right? When you develop the how-to video, you have an opportunity at being highly useful, but in those hyper-relevant moments, this sure. reminds me of that conversation we had with Jay Baer,
right?
Last year,
right?
Where Jay was talking about the idea that, look, you don't need to be relevant to everybody. You just need to be super-duper relevant to a person who's in that right moment.
Exactly. Like, how in the world do I install this new fan? You know, I mean, you know, right? You got a ceiling
sure.
fan. It's like, I don't really know how to do this. The first thing we're going to do is Google it. If somebody's done a how-to video on that and they've titled it right, that is going to search, that's going to pop up and boom, be right there. And so it seems to me that's like the kind of an example of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not a broad range of people. It's a very narrow one in a moment, but over time it actually might be kind of broad.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, one of the things that we have to dial in on in this with this report is that they're looking specifically at mobile use, and all of those examples that I gave you were people using mobile devices.
True.
So here's some updated stuff for us, right? According to this report, we check our phones 150 times a day. Smartphone users, 68% say they check their phone within 15 minutes of waking in the morning. And according to this report, and again, citing data, these are multiple data sources for what I'm shouting out right now. According to this, we're spending 177 minutes on our phones per day.
For all uses.
Yeah.
Does that include using it as a phone?
Tell me about that. What is that?
Exactly, because that actually matters in this count.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not enough detail in the summary here for me to know.
Because when you're talking about mobile searching and that sort of thing, that's obviously a whole different use than talking to somebody.
Here's what they're saying. Mobile sessions that average a mere 1 minute and 10 seconds long.
So
dozens and dozens of times per day.
I think this report is really cool. But I'd be super curious to know if you were to take this data, and run these same assumptions on the different age groups,
mm-hmm.
accounting for the different sizes of each, to kind of see. There was an article I read recently that was basically talking about when you look at the average of anything, it means very little because you aren't looking specifically at any certain behavior pattern or anything.
I have an example for this.
Go ahead.
So the average human being has one breast and one testicle.
That is great.
I mean, I apologize for that being a little crude and maybe crass. Is Jill still watching?
That's why
I'm going to be in trouble when I get home.
That's why you do medians and not averages.
Well, but even if you try to create a median
out
of that one.
Median on that one. I think you don't have a median.
You're still going to lose on that one. Well, there might be.
Yeah, you're right. Nowadays there would be. We covered that in a different show.
Yes, we did. Yeah. So, but you're exactly right.
I'm not saying that these numbers aren't worthless and they can't tell us something.
But you can't shoot for the average because you will be relevant to absolutely no one. If you're just doing gender split and you say, well, I'm going to try to be the average, you're going to hit zero.
Right.
Absolutely zero. Now, of course, we have commonalities, but your point is exactly well taken. So it doesn't mean you toss out the demographics, but it means that you think more, you prioritize more highly the opportunity for those moments. And the report, deals not just with content. Like, for example, one of the big suggestions in this report is that you look at an instant buy button for a product, so that when the opportunity presents itself, someone discovers it, that they can immediately check out. Because if they're on mobile, which many of them are, they don't want a long, drawn-out checkout process and require them to sign up and
seconds.
Whatever you can do to get them in and out quickly on mobile is going to matter.
Insert Apple Pay or Google Pay if you're on Android.
Absolutely.
Or if you're on Pinterest,
it's called
buy
Android
button.
Pay. Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. The Pinterest buy button, all of that stuff. But the process is fascinating. We took one of our clients' e-commerce sites to give you some example, and they were trying to figure out why they weren't moving products. And I said, okay, well, let me walk you through a checkout. We counted 17 clicks.
Oh, gee. Wow, that's explanatory.
And that doesn't count clicking from one field to the next. I was using my tab key for that when I'm filling out the where to ship it, right? 17 clicks to get to checkout.
Very customer unfriendly.
So when we reduced it to like 3 clicks, wow, what do you know? Product started moving.
Good job, dude. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not rocket science.
It's not, but obviously they hadn't seen it.
But this is the problem that a lot of us have is we've never really sat down and said, okay, what would it be like to do business with me from a mobile device?
Right. Right.
Right?
So right. Yeah.
Right.
So on the searches, I would be really curious. This is for Google. So these are all just Google searches, right?
This is an independent report, so.
But if Google hired them to do it, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that. Okay. I'm making the assumption that Google may have funded it, but I don't know.
My question is that, would these searches be the same if the searches were on Pinterest or YouTube? Because a lot of people use those platforms to search from.
So they're definitely looking at across the board at mobile usage here, and I think that may answer your question because part of this is how people interact with their mobile device, and not just how they search. So there's a fair amount of data that just shut off, by the way, Josh.
I love it when my recorder does that.
Yeah, and that's the official video for the show. So
guess we're using the blab copy.
Can we start it up again or no?
Probably.
Okay, we're gonna let Josh have a break while he restarts that. So we'll deal with that. I haven't looked to see if we have any questions from viewers. Oh yeah, Jill's still watching. Never mind. I am in trouble when I get home.
You are in trouble.
So they're looking at how people use their smartphones and so forth across the board, not just how they run searches. So it's an interesting thing. So there are three big takeaways. Be there. In other words, you've got to anticipate the micro moments for users in your industry and commit to being there to help when those moments occur, right? So maybe that means Pinterest. Maybe it means that you are using mobile ads. I don't know. Be useful. You need to be relevant to consumers' needs in the moment and connect people to the answers they're actually looking for. Intent, by the way, is a big part of a lot of the Google algorithm changes. That we've been seeing over the last few years.
Yes.
And that continues to be the case. So they're looking at beyond words that people use, but they're trying to do their best contextually and otherwise to determine intent. And then be quick. They're called micro moments for a reason. Mobile users want to know, go, and buy swiftly. Your mobile experience has to be fast and frictionless.
51% of smartphone users have purchased from a company other than the one they intend to do because the information provided was useful.
That's a fascinating one.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if you inserted easy for useful.
So I just don't understand how we've
get the same thing.
Gone through this whole conversation and not ever said the words content marketing, because
I didn't use the phrase, but I did say
it's
content
just
creators,
because it just sounds like the basic kind of, like, this is going back to what we talk about in the very beginning, which is create content that answers the questions people are asking, which those questions signal intent. Now, this data obviously is very interesting and it improves what we're supposed to be doing. But I'm not seeing anything we didn't already know.
It's not just about questions. So how about this one? 90% of smartphone users are not absolutely certain of the specific brand they want to buy when they begin looking for information online. So, there was another bit in here. I'm not seeing it right now, but there was another bit in here about loyalty, that people are absolutely no longer loyal to brands, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. If you can give them a faster experience, a more convenient, less, you know, friction type experience, then they're going to use...
So people are less susceptible to lock-in is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of loyalty is pretty much gone. And some of that's generational.
I don't think you can say it's gone. I think it's gone for the
younger
generation.
Pretty much, yeah. So I think that's true. But there are brands that build deep connections emotionally and otherwise with people. That's true.
Because if you provide a great customer experience and your customer relations,
you know,
are
what?
Good,
yeah, I think that I'm going to call bull on that.
I mean, talk about loyalty.
Slack. Slack is not that much better than what's the competition for Slack? I don't even
HipChat.
Remember. HipChat.
Except that Slack integrates better with everything, so HipChat doesn't do that as well.
Right, but back in the beginning when they were gaining all of this traction,
it's a better
I don't
customer
think there was
experience
tons of integrations.
Too.
HipChat was out of the gate earlier too.
I think if you're just buying something online and it's easy and it's good when it comes, and oh, you have a little issue with it, so you. You know, you call them up or you deal with it online and they fix it really easy for you. They take care of it. That's going to create loyalty.
Okay,
and that's like
true.
Earned loyalty.
But here's the point of the micro moment question, right? People are more loyal to their need in the moment than they are to any particular brand.
So if you answered the question better than their established brand, or your search result shows up first, you're more likely to get the business.
So I might feel better about your brand. But if in the moment, and I'm in a hurry because I've got, you know, this is one of my...
In 10 seconds.
Yeah, this is one of my 150 interactions with my phone today, and it's going to be short.
But do you think this is a result of people just trusting more because the internet tends to only reward people that are doing trustworthy practices?
Well, now that's an interesting question, because I think that I saw some research about how people view Google search results. And they viewed a top result as an endorsement from Google as to the trustworthiness of, and I don't have that data in front of me, Rod, so.
No, I'm just, yeah.
That's not surprising. I mean,
I know you're going to ask me for
cool.
it, so I'll try to find it, but but not right now. But yeah, and of course, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, especially if anybody's known anyone that's ever been in the SEO business. I'm not talking about Josh. I'm just talking about there are some really
I don't know why Rod looked at me there.
Not trustworthy
early
SEO
Josh,
people.
Josh 1.0.
What did I do? And Josh, what did you get the impression that I used to do?
So here's an example.
Because
didn't you get you built your business? Okay, never mind.
By the way, Valentine's Day is a week out, guys. Red Roof Inn. Here's an example from Red Roof Inn.
Thanks for the reminder.
David, your reaction was just captured there and memorialized. I'm just saying. And I responded to it appropriately.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah. So when Red Roof Inn realized that flight cancellations were leaving 90,000 passengers stranded every day. Think about that for a moment. 90,000 passengers stranded every day. Why would a hotel company care about that?
I wonder.
So they developed a way to track flight delays in real time and trigger targeted search ads. You should like this, Josh, for Red Roof Inns near airports. Ads that said, in essence, stranded at the airport, come stay with us. So how complicated is that, right? How sophisticated
Big
is that?
Big Data 2016, remember that report?
So to roll out a set
amazing.
Of search ads in real time that say, hey, a massive flight to, you know, Kansas City is delayed and it's late at night, so let's hit the campaign for Kansas City to say
okay,
stranded at the airport.
Rod, remember last week at the end of the show when I said marketers of today need to learn how to become technically proficient? This is an example. This is an extreme example of, like, the marketer who was behind this didn't just say to his tech team, build this.
Yeah,
the marketer behind
so.
This was a part of building this thing because, I mean, like that is
I have no
incredible.
Evidence of that whatsoever. I can easily see a marketing director or actually, you know what I picture
I
here?
No, I have no evidence of that whatsoever. Podcasts.
I would picture a team of people.
That's a classic line. That goes right up there with Ollie North. I'm sorry, Senator. I have no recollection.
Recollection of that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Which I don't know if Ollie was being truthful or not, but I am.
Okay.
you can't be afraid to get your hands
dirty. And I'm also not under oath, just FYI.
It's true. But you still have no evidence of it.
So after all of these disclaimers, what do you have to say?
I don't know. I can't remember what we were talking about. Now I'm back on Ollie North for Congress.
So this ad campaign resulted in a 60% increase in booking across non-branded search campaigns. 60% increase in bookings. So, in other words, they had campaigns that were Red Roof Inn campaigns. Those weren't changed by this. Right. But the ones that didn't have their brand in them, this didn't say, by the way, this doesn't mention how many more clicks they got. This was measuring the actual money. How many bookings did
That's
you get?
That's as bottom line as you get there.
Got some money.
If I did something that increased actual sales in your business, transactions by 60%, right?
Right.
How many people would like to pay me for that? If so, just go to grow the. No, that's good stuff.
Of course, then you have to come through with that, David.
Yeah, that's true. Pay us up front, and we'll let you know how it turns out.
Let you know.
Hey, so speaking of speed on mobile, mm-hmm. we gently glossed over that. Last week's episode was all about AMP, right?
It was.
And I told you I was going to try to install AMP on the site.
Oh, good. How'd it go?
I did this wonderful little search in the Google plugins thing, and I just typed in AMP.
WordPress plugins?
Yes.
WordPress plugins.
And this little plugin popped up, PageFrog, and it said, get Facebook instant articles and make your site compliant with AMP. And okay. It had zero reviews and like less than 10 installs. So I installed it.
That's one you stay away from at all costs.
No.
Not Josh.
not in this case. They just created this thing, went to their landing page.
Which might be why I didn't see it. Good.
Right. and what it does is it takes the existing AMP plugin created by
automatic
and lets you customize it.
Slick.
As well as adding Facebook instant integration as well on all of your items.
I did double check after we recorded last week's show, and Facebook instant articles is still invite only, so you can't actually participate, but it means that you could get your site to be compliant with the specification.
I've got my site compliant with the specification. I just need Facebook to approve it.
And the other one was Apple News, which is
that beta?
Even harder to get into. Apple News?
No, Facebook.
Facebook instant articles? No, this is a full rollout. It's just invitation only. Okay. And there's only like maybe 100 publishers or somebody participating.
Right. But AMP is obviously up and running. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to, you know, install three different plugins and configure all of them. But PageFrog, like, it's so cool.
Josh wins tool of the day once again.
Yeah, PageFrog.com.
PageFrog.com.
I'm sure they have some reviews and more than 10 installs by now.
Is it a freemium thing, or is it do you pay, or how does it work?
It's free right now. I don't know what they have. I told the guys, I reached out to Mike because I realized that this was a huge find. I was like, hey, guys, you want me to hunt you on Product Hunt? And they said, well, we're almost ready. So these guys are just...
Wow, that's really early on.
They're pre-launch. Uh-huh. But, I mean, the timing is right for what they're building. And look at their landing page. I mean, these guys... They know what they're doing.
The landing page is beautiful. Sorry, you can't see it, Rod.
These guys are good.
They're using some video on it. That's nice.
I could pull it up on mine if I wanted.
So whatever trust I lost by the lack of reviews, when I went to their page and realized they were new, I realized this is a cool find.
So that's really smart. And again, if you don't know what to do to speed up your site, we did talk about AMP last week. That's only one of the things, though. I still think we should do a whole show on that, or maybe schedule a webinar or something on how to speed up your website. That would be a fun show to do, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Rod's looking at us like
I noticed the way you looked right over at Josh with that question.
Well, the problem is
I didn't want to see your face.
There's so many different ways to do it.
It's true.
There's like the sort of easy button.
Oh, there's Josh's way, and then there's my way.
And then there's your way.
I understand, yeah.
And then there's the way of just paying a host that kind of does all that stuff for you.
Well, that's true. There are some hosts that are doing pretty well, except WP Engine, did you see? Massive, massive security problem.
No way. That's who I was going to bring up because I know they're super good at speed.
I think they've fixed it now. But not only did it affect WP Engine, but it affected their entire underlying host. Encryption keys got out in the wild. It was not good. Not good at all.
Encryption keys got out in the wild. I'm just picturing it just racing through the woods.
There's a wild fandango on the loose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm picturing the key emoji.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So I like the Red Roof example because, you know, if you need a hotel and you're searching. I mean, in other words, they hit all three of those goals, right? They were there. They were useful because their ad was more like, hey, you stranded at the hotel rather than, hey, you want to stay in our hotel, right? It was all about serving the needs of the consumer. And, of course, they were quick. You know,
now, that had to be at least somewhat freaky. But I guess it was generic enough that people were like, they would have no idea that my specific flight was canceled. They must just be blanketing everybody.
It actually reminds me of a Facebook ad campaign that I had actually shut off by Facebook.
Okay.
Because we were doing it was our oral hygiene brand.
Do tell.
Wow. Yeah.
We were doing an ad for our oral hygiene brand. And I think we did.
You targeted people.
I think we targeted people with diabetes. I don't remember what the specific thing was. It might not have been diabetes. It might have been another medical type condition.
There's probably nothing wrong with that if they allow you to target them.
Well,
but what did you say?
Google or Facebook didn't. Our ad had implied somehow like.
They were sickly?
If you have diabetes, your oral health is very, very important because like periodontal disease and diabetes is a really bad combination, for example.
I feel like we don't have any problem talking about the nasty stuff on this show.
No. Well, it's
like
three guys.
Do that.
Why would we?
Okay, but we do have female listeners.
Oh, good point. Sorry, ladies. Yeah.
Well, it's usually you.
I'm being gross? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, you normally just have this trove of
I can't
of
go home
like,
at all now.
Because Jill is still on. About the is she random still listening? Stuff. Yes, she's still listening.
Oh, jeez. So, I had a good run here.
This is funny because Jill doesn't actually listen to the podcast.
Exactly.
Normally.
I was just going to say.
Because you get
live.
Away with all sorts of stuff because
really,
she doesn't listen.
I had a really good run here where she didn't hear the show.
Now you've got to
I didn't have to answer for
up
things.
And behave,
oh,
darn geez. It.
Oh, looks like we're going to have to cancel the live show.
So
we might have technical difficulties next week.
Anyway. Oral hygiene, you know, so anyway, something about our ad mentioned, like, if you have diabetes, you need to be thinking about this, if that was what it was. This is a few months ago. And Facebook shut it down, and their rationale was not immediately obvious to me. I had to look at it again, and then it dawned on me. How creepy would it be if you got diagnosed with something and then Facebook started showing you ads for cures, right?
Right.
Now, that's not what happened, but that's what they're trying to avoid.
So if that happened coincidentally, basically.
Exactly.
All right.
People are already nervous about Facebook spying on them. So we do. In other words, Facebook's like, look, we don't want to give them any evidence.
Have we talked about the guy that targeted his roommate on
the
show?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. He targeted one person. Right. So there's another example in the report. By the way, this is not in the Think with Google article, but this is with the PDF that they offer, which is sort of the underlying, more detailed report that the article came from. But they talk about Fiat. Rod, what do you think about when you think about Fiat?
The tiny little Italian cars?
Tiny little Italian cars, exactly.
Okay.
How long were they off the market? Just guessing. In the U.S. Because did you notice they suddenly reappeared?
Yeah.
Did you think they were new?
They were such tiny sellers.
No. Okay, I'm just curious.
No,
but just a question.
They pitched it with a pretty good story when they came back out.
28 years they were gone from the U.S. market.
Wow.
And they showed back up with the Fiat 500. Which is that tiny little thing that's it can't be much better than a smart car in terms of its ability to withstand a direct hit.
When I think of Fiat, I think of like half a step above the Yugos. Remember the Yugos?
Oh, yeah, the Yugos were so bad.
Yeah. They were built in Yugoslavia.
Okay, so obviously they've rebranded themselves because my picture of Fiat is not at all what you guys are describing.
Well, no, Fiat's always been kind of cool, but they were always small.
They're tiny.
Like the Mini. Mini is a cool car, right?
Right. They were pretty badly branded. Built. Like
but I think Fiat, I think sporty, I think
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. You know what I think of when I think
what
Fiat?
What the Kia Soul was trying to be but just completely failed when they put dancing hamsters on their ad campaign.
Hamsters, though. The hamsters have done them well, though. I think they've won a lot of people over at the hamsters.
They have.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is what I think of when I hear Fiat. Because in Latin,
what?
Fiat lux, let there be light. And so I just
seriously.
Seriously.
And when you were asking what we thought of, you thought, hey, I wonder if they think this.
No, no,
too.
No, I wasn't thinking that at all.
Because nobody listening to this thought
anyway,
that, David.
So
nobody.
The there's got to be a Latin person out there
but
that
they didn't think
of
that.
Yeah. So you're going to have to keep me apprised of Jill's comments because I can't see them. I
listen. She's shaking her head now, too, like I was.
She said yes and smiley face.
Yeah, but
I'm
I don't
not
know
sure what that was a
exactly
reference to.
Like to what? So something about me not coming home, I think. The company deployed online and mobile search ads on category terms like small car and city car. Well, that's an interesting. I guess we are suburbanites, so the idea of a city car is not something I would have thought of very much.
And by that, they're meaning small.
Tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah. Like something that, you know,
maneuverable,
doesn't use a lot of gas because you're going to spend a lot of time sitting in New York City traffic or whatever, right? You know, so you don't want it to just chug gasoline at a high rate. And you also want it to be easy to park.
Right, that's what I'm saying, parallel park and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you said that, didn't you? Sorry.
So that's okay.
So they did 500,000 color combinations on the Fiat 500.
What?
You could easily customize the color, apparently.
With a hex code?
I don't know. That would be fun, though. Like, right? Get a web designer to pick the color for your car. That'd be fun.
Of course, the web designer's like, you want just one color? I can't make a couple?
Right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're talking about pre-order?
Well, yeah.
On a pre-order.
Yeah, when you customize, it was the online car configurator.
And essentially, you're saying 500,000
You could pick your color. Yeah, you could literally pick your color, and then they would make it so.
I'm thinking they're not stirring this paint with a paint stick.
Exactly. I'm thinking this is cool, right. Though. I mean, how would you like to be able to actually pick down to the final minute shade? You're not stuck. Like, we had a purple Cadillac one time. Ours was amethyst. They also had plum. And a Chihuahua, no less.
I drove
a purple
sometimes.
Cadillac when we had our first Chihuahua.
Speaking,
I can't make
about
stuff up.
Genesis in Latin. You are an amazing man, David. Wow. One of a kind.
I feel like we've got him off of his element this week with Jill listening, just being live.
It's Jill's in his head, totally.
This is great.
So I don't know. What does unaided recall mean? What is unaided recall?
I assume you remember it without getting any proddings?
Yeah, but if you were a car manufacturer, what does unaided recall mean to you? I don't get that.
Do you guys know there's a notarized
app? It is unaided recall.
As in my definition?
It's top of mind awareness.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you guys know you can notarize something on an app now on your phone? It's legal in all 50 states, but it costs $25.
That sounds like crap to me.
I mean, I think it's really cool and convenient.
How can they verify you signed it? Because, like, doesn't the notary have to watch you sign?
Yeah. So is it a live app? I mean,
is it like a person sitting there watching?
There's a person on the other end, because why else would it be $25?
Per notarization. Ooh.
Right?
See, that's...
Oh, yeah. Connect with live licensed notary agents.
Convenience.
So I think that... Oh, it's a live licensed
in Virginia.
Notary. Okay.
It says secure and verifiable. That sounds weird to me. So the Fiat their ad campaign produced 127% increase in unaided recall. Of course, they're talking about top of mind awareness. I think they were talking about purchase transactions here. Sorry, I was like going way down the road of like they're not returning their cars. Okay. So anyway,
right. Okay.
Kiss. That was one of my dumb moments there.
Yes. Keep it.
I've
simple.
Had a few of those dumb moments on this show. Anyway, so it's a worthwhile thing to go check out this report from Google. I think the most fascinating to me, though, is this concept of micro moments and what your brand could be doing to sort of be ready for that moment. That's good stuff, I think. And of course,
answer the questions that your customers are asking.
Definitely got to be answering the questions on that stuff. So
answering the questions, but I still come back to that intent and understanding their intent. You know, I mean, I'm just going to, because I didn't get to preview that ahead of time, I'm going to take that and sort of devour it and dig deep into it. I know we talked about it some, but I suspect there's a lot there in kind of rejiggering the way we think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did not hit any, like, nearly the items we wanted to cover this week.
We've got all sorts of stuff on there.
We never do.
I found... I found some interesting stuff out this week. I spent a lot of time this week on the indie web. Have we talked about the indie web on the show a little bit?
No.
I'm fascinated with this.
Is that internet.org?
No, it's a group of people that are working to try to make the web available for the individual person to use rather than using it through these big corporate silos like Facebook and Twitter. And they're not saying don't use those.
You mean like the way it used to be 5 years ago?
The way it was in the old days. You know, when you think about this, for example, here's a fun guy to go look up. I actually tweeted a story this week that was called like 10 people who invented technologies that you've never heard of. And the technologies you use, it's not the technologies you never heard of. You just never heard of the people that invented them.
Like the guy who invented the GSM radio chip that we all use in our cell phones today.
Or the guy that invented RSS.
Oh, okay.
Right? Which when you think about it, powers multiple industries. You could not have podcasting at all without RSS.
Robert Samuel Simpson.
Good idea. Actually, a guy named Dave Weiner, he's credited by some. There's some argument about it, but he's credited by some as being the first blogger.
Told you I was tired.
Your mind must be on like the last straw to have access to
that sort of silliness.
To have thought of whose name is RSS.
You know what it stands for, right?
Robert Samuel Simpson.
No.
Syndicated something.
Really simple syndication.
That's what it is.
That's what it stands for. Yeah, but Dave Weiner created it, and he's credited with being the very first ever blogger. Started his, what we would call a blog now, but wasn't called that then, in 1994.
Okay, I just realized.
That was before AOL opened up to the web, by the way.
Our blab, we have something fundamentally wrong with it.
What's that?
It's two views of me.
Oh, I've seen that fundamental problem this whole time.
Why didn't anybody? We could just.
You were the one that wanted to fire up your webcam
to try to solve the problem of
two.
The one, but I'm saying we should have pointed one of the
close-up
one
of
the
you,
cameras
Josh,
at
and
you,
one's further
Rod,
away.
And one at
what's been fun
you.
Has been to watch you look at both of them and like decide which camera to look at.
I know.
I think then, it's kept him quieter though. He's been focused on the cameras.
He was quiet last week, but I think he was eating and I was talking too much. So it was a
Greg saying you can see a sliver of David.
Yeah, and my shiny head kind of sticking.
And there's my pasty
there's
white
hand.
Yeah. Can't see the rest of the pasty whiteness.
So anyway, hey, we've got some interesting stuff coming up. I reached out to an email marketing firm that I've been using. Actually, any of our email subscribers interact with it because they power our RSS-driven automatic email that triggers every time we publish an episode.
You're not going to say the name.
No, but he'll be coming on the show. One of the guys from their company will be coming on the show in a couple of weeks. We're nailing down specifics on that right now. So that's going to be fun.
And I think it was a couple episodes ago, I said, I really want to know how to build better audiences on Facebook. And just based on what we just talked about again today with trying to understand user intent, I would love to talk to somebody who's an expert at that. Not just that last step when you're creating an ad that's like, who do you want to target? But like creating those really high, complex, like very specific audiences that you build on the side and you tinker with and then you A-B test the different ones. I know you can do
sure.
it. Mm-hmm. I've just never been like really handheld through that process because I know it's not easy. So I want to find somebody who really knows that stuff that can we can bring on the show.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, hey, if you know anybody that's doing that you think would make a good guest, why don't you let us know?
That would be good.
So this was our first attempted video, so we'd love to have your feedback. You can tweet us at GTD Show. You can send your snarky emails with snide remarks and other comments and cries of outrage.
To show
at growthedream.com, which is now working again. It turns out the service was shut down for like, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. So
what?
That's back up and running. Yeah.
And they didn't tell anybody?
Nope, didn't warn us at all. Nope. We pass it through Help Scout, which is kind of a help desk kind of a thing. And we used the free account because, hey, why not? And you can have up to three users. And it worked out perfectly, right?
Yeah.
Turns out one of us has to log in every so often. So they were distributing the emails, but because we didn't actually log in, they considered it inactive. So earlier this week, I thought, you know, it's been a while since I got a notification. So I tried to log in, and my login didn't work.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I tried to reset the password, and that didn't work. So I reached out to them, and they said, oh, yeah, your account was shut off, and it was because it was inactive. And they said, we can reactivate it for you, no problem. So we were within the 90-day window of permanent deletion. So anyway, it's back up and running.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so if you sent us an email since January 11th, we're very, very sorry, but we didn't get that.
We're not purposely that rude.
That is horrible. That is catastrophically horrible. Your wife says this has been quite an experience.
I'm sure it has. You have a doghouse?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just about to say we're really busy tonight, David. Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
I'm too young. You wouldn't want to hang out at my place.
Diapers.
No, I
just learned
I
to drive.
Diapers.
Do you think Josh is a little sensitive about this?
It's all out war, people. I'm telling you.
All right.
Well, and thanks for listening.
If you're a millennial that heard this show, then you need to let us know if we were offensive. And if so, then we're very very apologetic about being ageist.
I'm sure that the majority of our listeners.
Here we go.
You know what?
Here we go.
You can't make broad assumptions like these things without any data to back it up.
You mean the average listener?
You
Is that what
learning,
you're trying to say?
Josh.
The average listener?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. It's been fun. Tweet us at GTD Show. We'd love to hear from you. As I mentioned, you can now email us show@growthedream.com. You can find my illustrious, esteemed co-hosts on Twitter, Rod Thompson, the messaging guru / PR media specialist extraordinaire.
Sure, keep going. It sounds great.
On Twitter at Rod _ Thompson. There's no P in Thompson.
None at all.
None at all. No P in Thompson. There is a P in PR. That's where I was going with that. And I don't know how I kind of conflated those two, but I did.
Worked out well. Saved a lot of time.
You didn't know.
Okay, okay.
You can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Muccio.
Greg says, thanks, guys. This was great and a much better experience.
Oh, well, that's very nice
much
of you, Greg.
Better experience. Wow.
That's very kind.
Yeah. Was he saying that because I wasn't in the
I
picture? Greg.
Jill is...
Greg's like...
Jill is saying that maybe Rod. He said maybe Rod.
Yeah, exactly.
Jill is saying this has been quite an experience. So I'm.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to why it was a much better experience. I think it's a better experience because you were off your element.
I was off my game today, no question about it. This was a very different show.
It was.
Very abnormal.
I came in tired. You were off your game. Yeah. Josh was hogging up all of the video bandwidth.
I used the word breast and testicle on this show, so I don't know. I'm
and
very
you
sorry.
Somehow tried to offend me by the fact that I have facial hair.
I did not. If you took offense, that was on you. Millennials. Boom, boom.
And we'll be back with more of this bromance next week. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.